Welcome to Highly Political, a podcast where two passionate ladies smoke weed, talk politics, laugh, and sometimes cry. With special guests from the world of comedy, cannabis, and politics.
We haven't worked on Capitol Hill, but that's okay. We're paying attention, and so should you.
We want you to be informed, like little democracy angels. So pack your bowl, grab some snacks, and let's get into it. And remember, when they go low, we get high. Hey everybody, the news has been really wild, so I'm going to unwind with some CBD hemp for the lightest of buzzes.
I actually decided that mama needs some wine and some blue cookies, which happens to be the baby of Famous Strains, Girl Scout cookies, and blueberry. A delicious combo.
So we got to talk about it. Afghanistan. I go through a brief timeline of major events in the region to Biden's shaky removal of the troops.
All we have left to do is laugh, so I share some funny history facts because life can't be all pain. Right?
Our Kooks of the Week's tweets are so anti-patriotic, it's baffling. And our queens are heading back to school. Best of luck. All right, T, light it up.
Oh my gosh. That can really like sprayed when he opened it.
Ooh, this does not smell good.
Yo, Santa spent $5 on this hemp sparkling water. She thought it was regular sparkling water. Let's start with that. Let's start with that.
I spent $5 on sparkling water. Then when I got home, I realized it has 20 milligrams of hemp extract. So we're going to try to see if that does anything today. Chances are it's a big old zero.
My hypothesis is it's going to do shit. Well, you know, maybe to your tiny, the face she's making. So also I would like to say, she said that she bought it because it was a watermelon kiwi flavor and that sounded good. And that's why she spent the $5. She just took a sip and it looks like that investment was not a wise one.
It's not good. It's not good.
Well, I'm sorry. This flower is good. Some blue cookies.
You know, and the brand is called Mad Tasty. And let me tell you, tasty it is not. And mad I am for spending $5 on this thing.
Yeah. I mean, as an advocate for sparkling water, I understand, like, sometimes, you know, sometimes you
guys, please come for us on Instagram. Is sparkling water water? I'm about to annoy the shit out of Tiana right now. She took that hit and was like,
what is it? What is it?
It's sparkling water. You call it water. You're like, yeah, I got some water in the fridge. I open it. It's a bunch of delicious spendthrift.
I always say I have sparkling. I never just say I have water. I've never once referred to sparkling.
You have called it water before.
I have not. Okay. Now you're just fucking lying to people.
Yo, she's called it water.
No.
She's called it water.
When Sam says, this is not, you're having water. It's sparkling water. It's not really water. It's sparkling water. Oh, you're not hydrated. That's sparkling water. It's not mineral water. There's no sodium in it. It's fucking water with carbonation. It's sparkling water. It's water.
Oh, Tiana.
That's why when they ask, that's why when you order water, they say with bubbles or none, with gas or steam gas. You know, hello? So like, sorry, I'm hella European, bitch. I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah, she is hella European. Agua con gasa?
What are you
drinking?
I'm drinking a little wine. It's been a long couple of days, so.
Ooh, girl.
Yo, this world is crazy.
Yeah, I've been reading up on Afghanistan all day. And I know that I said I was going to come in with some more topics, but tell you what, the Afghanistan timeline was long and it took up my day.
Yo, it's wild to think it's been 20 fucking years.
20. I know.
Like, that's, I mean, I still like remember. I mean, I know it's like the catalyst that kind of like pushed everything, but like I remember that morning of 9/11 going, getting ready for school because I had like zero period. So I had to be at school at 7. So I was up hella early, like, so West Coast time, East Coast shit. And I remember like watching the stuff on the news, like, what the fuck happened? And it was so weird. And then I remember I was at school and we had it on. We saw like the second plane flying into the second tower. It was bizarre.
I mean, yeah, I mean, samesies. Our teacher had the TV on to the news and she was just like crying. And we were all like, excuse me, that's in New York right now.
Right. We're in high school, right? But sophomores. I was a sophomore.
I was in eighth grade.
Ew. Why are you so young?
All right, back to my youth.
back to the more positive memories of 9/11 and how we got into this 20-year-long war.
One of my classmates' step-parents died. Because I grew up right outside the city.
That's so sad.
Yeah, I remember vaguely. But yeah, people in New Jersey, it's kind of performative patriotism at this point. It's kind of gross. My uncle has like a 9/11 flag.
There's a 9/11 flag?
I guess so. There's a lot of flags.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, you can make anything a flag at this point.
But yeah, and that was the catalyst that took us to Afghanistan, because that was where the Taliban stronghold was with, as we all remember, Osama bin Laden. And what really disappointed me during my research is like something I should have known, but, I guess, you know, whatever, I just didn't, and we're all learning. I knew that because of the WikiLeaks, like, it was when Obama was using drones and civilians were killed, right? But what I didn't know is he upped U.S. troops in Afghanistan, but by far, like, the most, just because there was like a lot of retaliation. But yeah, okay. So I guess just like a quick little timeline, I guess we can just talk about. And there's like some points I want to talk about. I feel like maybe we should just all know about it again, because it's going to be in the news daily.
Yeah. Let's hear it.
So between 2001 and 2009, so, you know, Bush sent troops. It was a CIA recon mission called, like, I don't know, they call it some shit, like Eagle Down or something. And the CIA went to Afghanistan to, you know, try to take out some Taliban. And then Afghani and U.S. forces aligned. And then Britain followed suit and other countries joined the U.S., right?
Okay.
Here is, like, from the jump, we handled it so poorly. Obviously, we just left Afghanistan and things are in shambles. The Taliban's taking over and women and young women are not going to have rights. So let's just throw that on the table. The Taliban has said that they are going to give women rights within Islamic law, but we don't believe that. They already, like, it's going to be bad. Okay, so between 2001 and 2009, just over $38 billion in humanitarian reconstruction assistance to Afghanistan was appropriated by the U.S. Congress. That sounds like a lot of money. I was like, okay, great. Let's do it. You know, we start, obviously we didn't start the war, we retaliated, but, like, you know, as the U.S., we're fucking shit up. Let's give them some humanitarian aid. More than half of the money went to training and equipping Afghan security forces, and the remainder represented a fraction of the amount that experts said would be required to develop a country that had consistently ranked near the bottom of global human development rights. So, like, we gave the money for military.
Right.
You know, it's so U.S. of us, so U.S. to just, like, put the military first, because if we had put in more money in humanitarian efforts, like, who knows where the country would have been, what they could have been doing on the sidelines while U.S. troops were still on the ground fighting the Taliban.
Right.
So that's, like, a, you know, just, like, one of the biggest problems that really stood out to me. This is just, like, a timeline from the Britannica. You know, like a very reliable source, traces history. Okay, so, but then there was a Taliban resurgence, and there was an anti-Western sentiment among Afghans because of the way things were moving, right? I mean, people were desperate there. The U.S. was sluggish, and they, you know, they fudged some allegations, and there was also the, like, quote unquote, like, not democratic, but, like, you know, the president that was propped up after, right, during the war, his government was corrupt. And in May 2006, a U.S. military vehicle crashed and killed several Afghans, an event that sparked a violent anti-American riots in Kabul, the worst since the war began. Mm. So it's been just, like, up and down, right?
Right.
And then, because of the shaky ties with America and the Afghans, on the sidelines, the Taliban was able to regroup because these fools were selling opium.
Hmm.
The source of money was Afghanistan's resurgent opium industry. International pressure had forced the Taliban to curb poppy cultivation during their final year in power. But after their removal in 2001, the opium industry made a comeback, with revenues in some areas of the country benefiting the insurgency. Western-backed campaigns to eliminate poppy cultivation or to encourage farmers to grow other crops had little discernible impact. Afghanistan soon became the supplier of over 90% of the world's opium.
Whoa.
That's a lot of opium.
That's so much opium. You know, to me, I mean, I feel like a dumb American right now, but I think of, like, when I see Afghan just portrayed on the news and in pop culture, I'm thinking desert and mountains. But there must be some, like, beautiful forest regions just growing poppies.
What kind of conditions do you need to grow poppies?
I don't know, but I'm assuming, like, water for one.
Yeah, yeah, fair. But I'm curious. Like, who knows? Maybe, like, poppies hella thrive. It says, the opium poppy does best in temperate, warm climates with low humidity and requires only a moderate amount of water before and during the early stages of growth.
Oh, so poppies be thriving.
Hey, Afghanistan said, bitch, we got these poppies on lock. So on lock, we're going to get 90% of the world's opium supply.
And that is, I think the pharmaceutical industry alone, damn. Mm-hmm. All right, now we cut to baby Barack, went to the White House promising to focus attention and resources on the faltering war effort in Afghanistan. On February 17th, 2009, he approved sending an additional 17,000 U.S. troops on top of the already 36,000 U.S. troops and 32,000 NATO service members already there.
Yeah, that's a lot of people to be in your country, like, on a, like, occupation, like, front, you know. Just, like, imagine if there were 32,000 soldiers from another country just chilling here. That'd be so,
yeah, and, like,
bizarre.
How big is Afghanistan? Like, the size of one of our states. Yeah. You know, like, that's a lot. And I also tried to look this up, and there's no, like, real definition of what a troop is. It's like, it's frowned upon to call it one person. It's either two, it could be anywhere from two people to 60 people.
What is frowned up to call it a troop?
To call one person a troop, right? Which makes sense to me. But there is no, like, actual definition of how many equal one troop. Like, how many people, how many units equal one troop. So 17,000 could be, like, two, like, you know, times two or times 60. Oh. You don't know. I mean, there are probably some stats. There's probably some stats that have, like, the actual boots on the ground. But
that's,
yeah,
tricky.
Like, when we, right?
I don't like that.
I don't like that either.
That seems orchestrated. You know, it's like, that's okay. I don't like that. Oh, and also, I just looked it up. United States is about 15 times bigger than Afghanistan.
So Afghanistan's bigger than I thought, actually, or larger than I thought. Okay, then Obama visited Afghanistan and delivering a stern message to Karzai, who was the president put into power after the U.S. got in. Karzai had won a new five-year term after the first term and vowed to stamp out corruption, but, like, surprise, surprise, he didn't do it. Then Obama dropped his, like, main dude, his main war dude, and replaced him with General Petraeus. I don't know if I just remember that. I just remember General Petraeus, like, growing up, that name. It's pretty wild.
Name sounds, yeah.
And that's when the WikiLeaks came out, you know, like, it was called WikiLeaks, cumulatively termed the Afghan War Diary. So it detailed, like, some key people who were killed, you know, the drone usage. Mm. And then along with, you know, WikiLeaks coming out, you know, that said Obama did kill civilians, or, you know, I think it's tricky to say, like, Obama directly killed civilians, but, you know, the drone program, there were casualties. Right. So, and then a series of incidents in early 2012 heightened tensions between the U.S. I remember one of these. One of the instances was a U.S. soldier allegedly left an American base near Panjwai and broke into several homes, shooting dead 17 Afghans, mostly women and children. I fucking remember hearing about that.
I do kind of. What year was that?
It's 2012.
Yeah, that's wild. Like, kind of shit happens to you?
And you then there was the video.
I was just like, what kind of shit happens to you? They, like, something like snaps that you fucking do that, you know, you just go break into random people's homes. And then just imagine like the trauma of like your somebody breaking into your house and like shooting your fucking cousin or your mom or some shit. Like, that's wild. I can't imagine. How do you move forward from that and just like live a regular life? Like, how long does that take to just even, I don't know. That's just damn. And that's just like the tip of the iceberg.
Then there was a video of somebody, remember? I don't know if you remember. I remember this too. A soldier took a video of him pissing on dead Afghan bodies.
Oh my God.
Do you remember that?
Yo, the way that I feel really bad for how like desensitized people can get. I mean, I guess there has to be a part of you that has to get desensitized to even get to the point where you're pulling the trigger to like shoot somebody in combat, you know? But
right.
To get to the point where like you don't even see this person or this body as like a human, to the point that you piss on their dead body, is just like, listen, like I can be pretty wicked, but that's like psychotic. You know?
Yeah. I mean, war fucks with your brain.
Scary.
Why is there should not be large pictures of Matt Gaetz's face on the internet? I'm not trying to see that. Politico, you need to chill with that.
Yo, because like the shit we were talking about, I thought you're gonna be like, there should not be large photos of dead bodies on the internet. And then it was like way worse, like Matt Gaetz. And I was like, I think my mind wasn't prepared. I just literally saw his face. Can't stand him.
He's gross. So then cut to 2014. I'm doing a lot of cut twos, but it's like, you know, basically it's all war and bullshit, right? You know, like,
yeah.
In 2014, Ashraf Ghani, who I'm pretty sure he's hiding or is in exile right now, was inaugurated as president and immediately signed a bilateral security agreement with the US and NATO, formally ended their combat mission in Afghanistan on December 28th, 2014. A full withdrawal of U.S. troops initiated in 2020 and continued in 2021 anticipated the end of U.S. deployment to Afghanistan. So Trump, when he was, so let's go by president, so Bush got us in there, didn't quite help, you know. Obama added more troops, probably like one of the largest stains on his presidential legacy. Mm-hmm. And then Trump called for troops to get out, as we all vaguely remember.
Yeah.
And then Biden got them out hastily, and now we are here to this mess with the Taliban taking over, troops and journalists and free thinkers in Afghanistan running on the tarmac to try to catch those planes, because it's like either that or death.
Yeah, that was crazy. Fucking that hoe Lauren Boebert like tweeted some like joke about,
oh, let's get to our crazy old, because she's a kook.
Okay, yeah, wait, yeah. Oh, yeah, wait, but it was really, like, fucked up about those people falling out of those planes. Do you see those videos?
I didn't watch the videos. I listened to them on NPR, and then I saw Biden's speech, which I really did like.
I didn't listen to his speech. What did you like?
He was like, and then he's like, the buck stops with me. We're like, we're not sending more people into this war. And it's like, yeah, I mean, I guess I don't want wars anywhere, but now I just feel so bad for the people of Afghanistan. Like, they're going to live in constant hell.
Right. And like all the people who are fucking, were waiting for their visas to come here, who helped us while we were over there, we're going to be some of like the main targets. Like, that's fucked. Like, they should have been so like, fucked. We need to get those people out of there.
I agree. Like Trump tweeted, U.S. citizens first. Like, yeah, we know, but like troops are safer
right
than like the Afghani journalist,
mm-hmm. or the interpreters and the fucking, I don't know, I just,
oh yeah, the interpreters, there's so many, like 14,000 or something.
Yeah, and like their families, and just think about, God, I just can't imagine the stress. It's just like wild. It's, again, we've talked about this before. It's just like crazy to me how like simultaneously so many things are happening on this earth. We're like sitting here smoking weed, talking about like what's happening on the other side of the world. It's like so horrific.
I couldn't even get into Haiti today. I was like, maybe not, like we'll read about Haiti a little bit, but like there's an earthquake. Like I was listening to a Haiti official, like a diplomat, saying, you know, we just need help at this point. Like there's no, like the Haitian people are basically like, we just need aid. So many people died.
And their president was like recently assassinated.
Yep.
We got fires in California. Yo, guys.
This is a rough day. And Eric was talking about his fucking chicken wings were stolen or something. I was like, I don't want to hear about your chicken wings, bro.
Yeah, I met up with like this, like a work coffee meeting, and this girl and I were talking about like being out and trying to like have a good time. But then like randomly you're just like jamming to Usher, and then you're like Afghanistan, Haiti, like, you just get so overwhelming sometimes. I mean, like obviously there's things we can do and like donate and make more people aware and do how we can help. But sometimes it just feels overwhelming that there's not anything you could like tangibly do, at least I feel like, to alleviate some of this what's going on. It's just, we live in a crazy world, man.
I follow this Instagram account. It's like called like Yalla Talk. It's basically just like Middle Eastern humor that I find very funny because I have like some Middle Eastern besties. They posted a video of the Taliban just like taking over a gym, you know, because it was abandoned and they were working out and stuff. And to me, I thought they didn't post it with like, the caption was merely informative. It said, the Taliban take over a gym now that, you know, everybody's evacuated or whatever. And I was like, oh, why did they post this? But I guess to me, it just was terrifying. It was horrifying. I think they were trying to just highlight without commenting. Like there's no need for comment. This is scary, right? Like these guys are laughing and having a good time and they're going to ruin the lives of the Afghani people. Mm-hmm. And then some people commented, you know, why are you posting this? And then other people were already cracking jokes. One guy was like, Osama bin Laden. And I was like, yo, that is so not funny. Like y'all, PSA, y'all not comedians. Okay. Leave the comedy to the comedians. When was the last time you were on stage? Thank you. Zippy lip.
Yeah. I think like what makes it so scary and so eerie is like, how mundane something like working out is and how it's like a space that you don't immediately think of being infiltrated or overrun or taken. And to see the juxtaposition of figures that, you know, have been capable of such chaos and harm and just crazy shit, just doing something that's so, again, mundane and jovial.
Well, they were smiling, they were laughing because they didn't know what some contraptions were. They're like, oh, ha, ha, I'm gonna lift this up, like I'm gonna be on this elliptical.
It's like disorienting, you know. It's, and because then it also feels like it's not almost as they're supposed to be there, but they're just like, it's just they're here, they're there, you know what I mean? It's not like they're taking over. It's like, no, this is the way of things now type. And that's, I think, more scary than the idea of like, we're holding you hostage. You know what I mean? Like, oh, we're so relaxed in what we're doing. We're going to fucking like hit the treadmill. I like saw some video of them on like fucking trampolines, you know? So it's, yeah, that's crazy.
And then we have crazy, crazy people on the right who just are so tribal. Their vitriol for Joe Biden and the Democrats is so blinding because all they want to do is get votes. They're all of our kooks of the week.
It's the crazy old kook of the week. Why you gotta be so fucking crazy?
Our kooks of the week are Lauren Boebert, Matt Gaetz, and D. Trump Jr.
All of them drive me crazy. Have you seen like some of these videos that D. Trump Jr. does when he just looks completely fucking like blasted, like coked out of his mind?
No.
Wild. I'm like, how can somebody blatantly be this on drugs?
Because they don't know what consequences are. They don't understand it.
Videos on the internet. It's so wild.
Wait, what was the one you saw recently?
Yo, girl, I can't remember the mindless rumbling or bumblings on, but he just like talks in this like crazy, like, oh yeah, you know, like, oh yeah, my dad, we got it. Yeah, Joe, a sleepy Joe. And like doing like crazy, like coked out faces and just like all sweaty. And you're just like, dude, lay off it. Like you need to chill off the coke. Like, I'm not concerned for you, but I'm a little concerned for you. You know what I
mean? Well, this is a huge step in some sort of direction. Tiana is showing.
Listen, I don't need him to like OD on coke and then there'd be more of a reason to like continue the war on drugs. That's really what I'm concerned about. Fuck his perfect. I could care less. But yo, anyway, Donald Trump Jr. is, you got, I'll find them, some of them, and I'll send them to you.
So Lauren Boebert, this I would say is an actual like, this is actual admiration for the Taliban. We'll get to the other two because this is what she tweeted. Like this is on her fucking, she did not bring this tweet down and like 16,000 people liked it, which was very alarming, but I bet half of those are bots. So like 8,000 people liked it, which is very alarming.
Right.
The Taliban are the only people building back better. She fucking said that.
I was like, wow, that's, she just, they're just okay. Just because the thing is, it's like, have you seen those like side by side videos of, or photos of the Taliban in like the president's office or area in Afghanistan? And it's like shows like the insurrectionists, like at the Capitol. On January 6th. And I was like, he really looks fucking familiar, man.
I mean, no, like they don't care about education. They don't want women to do anything.
Well, they're just hyper-religious.
They're anti-vax. It's against their religion.
Yeah, like just super, like just like this idea that, you know, to rule a government off based off like a hyper-religious view is just so terrifying.
And for whatever reason, they're still going to have like the performative people who love the troops on her side. Like this, you cannot say that you love our troops and then fucking say the Taliban is building back better. The fuck?
And she retweeted like a video of the people who were like trying to get on the plane, and you know, some of the, like, it was an article about them dying, and like the plane it took off, and like there's video of people like falling from it. And she's like, at least they won't have to read mean tweets.
Where's the logic in that? What?
I don't know, dude. Logic, I think.
Yeah, I know. She didn't want it.
I think that's feel like very, very nice.
A former GOP representative, Denver Riggleman, tweeted back at her, tell that to the women. And then a Democratic rep, Mondaire Jones, just replied, this is a very dumb statement.
I mean, like, what did she think she was doing when she wrote that? Like, what own did she think she had? You know, like, who is she sticking it to when she is like, send, tweet? I don't know how, like, I don't tweet, so I don't know how the function, like, would you click boop to make it go out? Like,
I guess the logic, if I had to give her credit, which I don't want to, but I guess the logic would be because it was hastily, the troops were hastily taken out of the region, right, that because there's so much chaos, like the Taliban can, you know, gain power. So it's kind of a slight to Biden,
I guess, but.
But you know, if Trump fucking did this, which he would, there's no way he would have handled anything better than Biden. Let us be clear on that. Right. Like, what would they be saying now? Like, what would they be saying? Like, the Taliban, like, what do you think they'd be saying right now? If Trump was president right now and he took all the troops out and it was this
on the
chaos.
First, like he, yeah. Do you think there would have been chaos if he had taken the troops out on May 1st, like the deal that Trump and Pompeo made with the Taliban?
Oh yeah. They did a deal with the Taliban, didn't they?
Yeah, they did. Like, before they left office, they did like a peace deal or something. Where basically the Taliban, like so many like prisoners, Taliban prisoners got released. I don't think like the Afghani government was really like involved in this like whole.
They
like,
weren't actually.
In
yeah.
the negotiations. And then America was going to withdraw all their troops by May 1st. And then Biden pushed that back to September 1st. And then I guess the Taliban was like, not happy about that. I don't know. But so like Trump, I mean, they had like conversations with the Taliban, which is also very, so maybe came some plan ways to make Afghanistan great again or something. I don't know.
Oh God. So our other kook, Matt Gaetz, said Trump and Taliban should be on Twitter. Like, yo, bro. You want the Taliban, who uses recruiting tactics on social media, to be on social media? Like, fucking just stick with Trump. Like, Trump, like, this is how dedicated I am to free speech. People who kill our soldiers, who attack American soil, give them a Twitter.
Right.
They're fucking disgusting. And then Don Jr., in incredibly poor taste, a Taliban spokesman got a question about freedom of speech, and he said the question should be asked to U.S. companies like Facebook, who claim to promote it while it's still censoring. Yeah, a big fucking eye roll. I mean, come on. And then Donald Trump Jr. retweeted that and wrote, LOL, also not wrong. Sorry, you're laughing out loud with the Taliban spokesperson?
Yeah.
But these fucking fools pretend they like have a hard on for the United States, so they're just gonna go away with all of it. They have no decency. And all the people who believe them are fucking trash, dumb idiots, my family.
Oh my God. I didn't see that last part coming.
But always, yeah, there. It's always there.
I know it's always right under the surface. I know what you mean sometimes when you say idiot. Uncle. Dad. I was listening to this podcast today, Why Is This Happening, with Chris Haynes. And he had a guest, Sarah Caius. But she's a like reporter and author. She worked on like the front lines in Afghanistan in like 2001, and then like worked with like the Pentagon as like basically like not like a consultant, but she's like anti-corruption activist. And she had a really interesting analogy about corruption. So she was talking about you know, that tale about Midas, and how, like, you know, the Midas touch is typically, if someone says you have the Midas touch, it typically means like you're really good at something, right?
So you're Midas, lucky, right?
Yeah, you're lucky. You're like, you know, everything you touch turns to gold, you know, just like everything you do is just chef's kiss, right? You know, and Midas, everything he touched turned to gold, but like everything he touched, you know, and then there's like part of the story that one day his daughter saw him, you know, crying, upset, because, you know, everything he touched turned to gold. And she like leaned up to kiss him, and she turned to gold and died. Wow. And, you know, it was this idea of like, how, you know, now it's like, that's kind of like corruption, where it's like when it becomes this game where like the value no longer matters, it's about winning, right? So like if everything you touch turns to gold, I mean, everything, things that are now irreplaceable, like, what is the value in that? What's the true value if you continue to touch everything just to get gold? And now we live in this world of corruption where instead of gold, it's zeros in a bank account. So all these people who are kind of playing games with the world, especially when it comes to things like climate or just corruption, it gets to a point where it's no longer about like how much money they can amass. It's like about winning. And when it's just about winning, you know, it's like you sacrifice things like the Amazon rainforest and countries and things like that. And it was just like, it was just very interesting to think about how like quickly like corruption spreads like that, and the value of things, like what creates value, you know? And when you have something where what is something that's supposed to be value, and you have so much of it that it no longer has value, you create new value and like a game of things that you sacrifice things that are irreplaceable.
Yeah, that's an excellent analogy. It's an excellent way of talking about it. Yeah.
Yeah. And she was just kind of talking about how, like, you know, there's just so many, there's a handful of these like super rich people in that are like literally having the Midas touch on the world. And like, where is that going to leave us?
What's the point?
That's the point.
Yeah.
And how like, you know, and it's a trickle up. The like, you know, corruption's like, she's like, corruption exists because of a corrupt system. Like, she was kind of talking about how it was always going to be like a fool's errand trying to establish a non-corrupt government in Afghanistan, basically because of this, like, the military was out there to do that. But like, how are soldiers supposed to build a non-corrupt government?
And right, they don't know. They just, they're meant to take orders.
Yeah. And then she was just kind of saying how, like, you know, there was like a lot of back and forth, like, you know, at the Pentagon about like ideas of like what was important when it came to like anti-corruption and like types of governments that should be in place. And it was just really interesting to kind of just see like the, you know, obviously like the politics behind things. And she said like the, you know, it was like the politics behind like sacrificing this many soldiers.
Mm-hmm.
To have
too many,
this,
too
to
many.
Have this out view or this look. Yeah. And then she was also just talking about how like corrupt systems exist for a reason. Like, people talk about like corruption on like lower levels when it comes to like, you know, oh, the police come shake you down, you got to pay amount of money. But like, some of that money goes up the ladder, you know, and that they did like some research over a couple years of like anti or like corruption type of deals and things like that. And it like amassed like $32 to $35 billion.
Wait, for what?
For like different types of like little corrupt things where people like shake you down for money, or, you know,
a specific country, or
it was like in Afghanistan, I think.
Okay.
Yeah. So it was like over 2 or 3 years, and like it amassed to like $32 to $35 billion.
As you know, I'm a Jeopardy stan, and in the middle of Jeopardy, they always do these whack little interviews. And one interview, I normally fast forward to the interviews, but I didn't recently.
Like an interview about somebody who's like going to be about a question or something, or just like a random.
No, it's always like, I don't know. Hey, Tiana, I heard that you made too many pies for your daughter's, you know, science fair, whatever. Stupid things.
I'm always making too many pies.
You're always making too many pies. I'm like, Tiana, chill with the pies, girl. And this woman was talking about in Peru. This was her fucking story. So I think it was Joe Buck, whoever Joe, like, he's the current guest host, whatever. I'm so sad LeVar Burton didn't get the real host gig. So sad about that. Anyway. So he's like, Lauren, you, went to Peru. Tell us about it. So basically, I guess they needed their passport on them to like cross some, you know, border, whatever it was.
Right.
And she had her passport on, but her friend didn't have a passport. And she said that the cop, and she was saying this so cheerily, she's like, and the cop, you know, wouldn't let us go. And then he said, well, do you have $20? And we said, yeah, we happily have $20. And we gave him $20, and, you know, and we got to cross and go on a hike. And I was thinking, like, bitch. Like, that country is like, they're so corrupt because of like geopolitical things. And you're just like, ha ha ha. Like, the cops just shake down people for money because they probably don't have a living wage, or like their captain is forcing them to like collect money for them. It was just infuriating.
Well, that's what the lady was saying too. I mean, she was talking about how, like, you know, the corruption's built into the system. It's like the cops get paid a lower wage because it's expected that they're going to do the corrupt system again, and that money like trickles back up. So mm-hmm. it's just like, I don't know. I mean, it just listening to like her talk and just listening to like some of the stuff on the timeline, at a certain point, it just seemed like a fool's errand to try to establish, to still have such a like a defining role in trying to establish their government. You know, like, I think we should have like had, it should have been so dependent on just our presence, right? I don't know. It's just,
right.
Just.
I mean, because whatever we did, it didn't work, you know? Like, we were present there for 20 years, and the Taliban has still now taken over the one objective.
Yeah, and it's not good for Joe. He's got that sound bite where it was like a month ago or something where he was like, it is very unlikely that, you know, as soon as we leave, the Taliban will take over and we're not going to have a helicopter like evacuating over the embassy. Like,
yeah, that's not going to be a good look for Joe.
Yeah. And it's like literally like side by side to like Saigon. So it was one of those moments like, damn, I guess how did I literally say word for word what did happen was not going to happen. Very Erica Jane. It's expensive to be me.
Now very Erica Jane
for extorting money from people. Some kind of vibes.
I mean, in his speech, he kind of did take some admission, you know. Mm. And
what did you like about his speech?
It's annoying to say what I liked, right? Because like Afghanistan's in shambles right now, right? So it's like, I like what my president said, but he was just very forceful. He was like, I did not want to keep troops in Afghanistan. I was a senator, you know, I've been a part of this war for 20 years. Like the buck stops with me. We don't want to be in the region anymore. And then he outlined a bunch of details that led him to make the decision.
Mm.
So, and also, I mean, like a low bar, just like, I was like, damn, it just feels nice to like listen to a competent.
Mm, I see. Yeah, yeah, I get that.
Those vibes. Which is not like the best reasoning, but I mean, across the board, people were enjoying his speech, including myself.
Did he say anything about like any plans to help any?
He kept talking about humanitarian. Yeah, he kept telling that, you know, we're gonna use our humanitarian efforts, like money. I mean, we're gonna have to take some refugees in, yeah. And it's just going to need to happen.
Especially, like I said, like we were talking about, I mean, like obviously women and children, but like all those people that worked with our military during that time. And
yeah, Biden talked about the interpreters.
Yeah. I've seen a lot of things from vets who served in Afghanistan and talking about how, you know, they're really concerned for those people and how close they had gotten with them and how much they helped their jobs and just their experience over there. So it'd just be wild to, you know, it's crazy too, if everything's about timing. Just imagine like waiting on your visa, like, all right, I just gotta wait a little bit longer. Oh, the Taliban took over. Oh, all the Americans are gone. Like, just again, the resiliency of just getting out of there, it's amazing. I just can't really feel for everyone over there right now, which sounds like very like trite, but it's just like also like so overwhelming that it's like hard to, I feel like, really articulate.
I mean there are some charities and organizations. Women for Women International says that a generous someone will match up to $500,000 in donations for its Afghanistan program. That's Women for Women International.
Wow.
Yeah. And I think just like, you know, go to trusted sources like NPR, like that's what I got from NPR, and just, you know, find a group that speaks to you. I would, hopefully it's for, you know, women, children, and like, you know, and men who do not want to be part of the Taliban regime, you know. Yeah. But they're just not, obviously, they're just not as vulnerable. And I saw one too about like pets. There was one, Leo Love Rescue did something like, we found a charity that for pets in the region. So I was like, I didn't even think of that. Like, of course.
I didn't even think about that.
Animals. Any, you got anything positive, T?
I got some like random, like silly history. Did you know there was a time that people in this country, not a lot of people, okay, there's only probably like I think it was like less than like 15 cases in like a couple of years, but nonetheless it happened, people sent their children through the mail.
Yeah. What? Say what now?
Yeah, okay, yeah. So basically, like, so this is in January 1913, an Ohio couple took advantage of the U.S. Postal Service new parcel service to make a very special delivery, their infant son. The Burgess paid 15 cents for his stamps and an unknown amount to insure him for about $50, then handed him over to the mailman, who dropped the boy off at his grandmother's house about a mile away.
Oh my God.
Yeah. And it says that regulations about what you couldn't send through the mail were vague when post office began accepting parcels over 4 pounds. So people immediately started sending crazy shit like eggs, bricks, snakes, and other like shit, including, I guess, children.
God, of course, snakes as well. See, this is why we fucking need some regulations, okay? Republicans, get over it.
Can you imagine? Okay, imagine the first time you've heard of, you know, the U.S. mail. It's just getting started. They come, you're like, listen, you put something in an envelope, as long as it's not more than 4 pounds, this many stamps or this much price, we'll get it to where it's got to go. You don't got to, that, like, imagine your mind being like, what? So then what then makes you think, you know what I should send over to Sammy? A box full of snakes. You know what's probably going to get to her rather safely? Some eggs. You know, she did tell me she was missing a couple bricks in her fireplace. I should throw those in the mail. Like, the fuck?
Also, that couple, it was only 1 mile. That is not that far.
You're like, why didn't you go get your, like, and it was like the grandma. Why didn't the grandma just come here? Somebody sent their kid 40 miles. In August 1915, 3-year-old Maud Smith made what appears to be the last journey of a child by U.S. Post when her grandparents mailed her 40 miles through Kentucky to visit her sick mother. After the story made the news, Superintendent John Clark of the Cincinnati Division of Railway Mail Service investigated, questioning why the postmaster had allowed a child on a mail train when that was explicitly against regulations. Oh, yeah, because I think in like 1913 or 1914, somebody else like mailed her. Oh, my God. 720 miles was the longest trip. And then guess how much it cost?
$3.
15 cents in stamps.
Oh, my God.
A woman mailed her 6-year-old daughter from her home in Florida to her father's home in Virginia.
Yo, imagine having that much trust in your community.
Yeah, something
that you think, okay, I'm going to just send this child, would be perfectly safe.
It said that some of the mail carriers were like, you know, people like knew them. It wasn't like very strangerish at the time. It was like smaller population.
720 miles.
Yeah, girl. And, but okay, imagine being like the postmaster. You know, you're just like running, you're trying to run the postal service. This is a whole new hot new enterprise, right? You got a lot of shit to worry about. And then you fucking sit down, open the paper, and you read, somebody mailed a kid 720 miles. I'd be like, do I have to fucking push everything? I have to tell you guys, we can't be mailing kids. I have to make that a rule. I didn't know I had to make that a rule. I didn't realize I had to let people know, hey, snakes, eggs, totally not gonna happen. Kids, why would you even fuck to think of that? But they made it a rule. So that's why it's a rule that you can't mail people.
I like this, these fun little history facts you're giving me after that 40 minutes of deep depression.
Yeah, that's nice little, I was like, you know what piqued my interest, or where I first saw that and maybe go fact check? TikTok.
You love yourself a TikTok.
Listen, all of you shall love TikTok soon. I'm just way, way ahead of the game. I'm telling you, get on the talk.
Okay. I know. It's very true.
There's a lot of information, but I would like to point out that I saw something on TikTok that I thought, that's crazy. I can't believe that. And I didn't just come on here and say, yo, did you know they used to mail kids in the mail? Fucking made sure. I did some research, read some articles to make sure that that was some real shit. And like I said, it was only like 13, under 15 kids that, you know, over 3 to 5 years or some shit. Wasn't like just like, you know, you went, everybody at the post office had like the child special, you know, or some shit. But yeah, so, you know, sometimes if things seem too good to be true or too like, that's crazy, research it. Like somebody was saying, or I also immediately checked the comments, because sometimes people already go in there like, that's a lie. Like, I'm like, oh, thanks. At 32654 Smith, I won't be Googling it myself. Like something was by Elon Musk and somebody else being like cousins or brothers or something. And I was like, what? They're brothers? And I went to the comments and I was like, No, I didn't think so, but you know, thanks comments saved me a Google search. So
did you see that recent, it was a Stitch, it was side by side. And, I guess it's a duet, right?
I think it's a duet on different like apps, but yeah.
Okay. So, an anti-vaxxer was so confident. It was like, okay, this is why I'm going to tell you when somebody says why you're not going to take the vaccine. So then there was a scientist. I tried to find her on Twitter. And a source that I kind of trust. I was like, all right, believe that she's a scientist. So the anti-vaxxer was like, okay, mRNA is synthetic. And she's like, yes. Mm-hmm. Like the is like, yes. Yeah, mm-hmm. And then she's like, so, but your body won't break it down. And then the scientist is like, no, your body will break it down. And so she just like kept going. The anti-vaxxer was like, and like this does this. And then the scientist goes, no, your lipids will do that. And just saying, like, you know, proving, like, just being like, you're wrong. Like everything you're saying is wrong, but you're saying it with such fucking confidence. These dummies saying this stuff that don't know about with such confidence.
Yeah. Confidence, man. So like Trump got voted in. Would you like to hear? Well, first, you know what? I would like to talk about our queens of the week.
Queen of the week. Queen of the week. It's the queen of the week.
Our queens of the week. All these motherfucking teachers out here having to go back into these schools and having to deal with these crazy anti-mask parents. I was reading some shit about a teacher in Austin. A parent ripped off her mask.
Ripped off the teacher's mask?
Yes.
Okay, so a parent committed like assault on the teacher.
A California fucking parent. Like came to pick his kid up like late or something. So there was like not like many kids around, and the kid and the principal like came out the office or something, and they both had masks on. And the dad was like all pissed, like that, I guess it was just like the two of them that said that, and like that they both had to have masks or something. And then he like looked into the teacher's lounge, and the teachers in the teacher's lounge didn't have masks. But I guess like all the teachers are vaccinated, so there's no rules if there's no kids around, if it's just teachers in the teacher's lounge, that they have to wear their masks. And but the dad was not happy about that and like started like going off and was basically saying like I don't know, like you're torturing our children and like all this shit. And then he like stormed out and like made some calls or something. Then he like came back in and was like storming back towards the principal's office, and a teacher like saw him and knew like the principal was in there by herself. So the teacher went in there, and then the guy was like all like yelling at the principal, like rah, like kind of like in her face. And the teacher kind of got in between them, and then he fucking like attacked the teacher, and the teacher I think went to the hospital.
There was a significant exodus in teacher positions. Like a bunch of teachers quit across America.
I mean,
and the retirement fund for California teachers was up by like 20% or something.
Oh wow. I mean, yeah. I get it. I think already it was, I mean, it's sad that it's such an underpaying, thankless job, because you would have hoped that the education of your nation would be fucking vital to your success, but clearly they have other plans. And you know, so I can just imagine like how hard it is to even stay in as a teacher when you didn't have the challenge of the pandemic. But like, you know, like they just put so much into it. Like again, TikTok, I see all these cute TikToks of teachers putting their rooms together, and oh my God, I did see this fucking video of this like teacher. God, wasn't in Georgia. It was like this old little white lady who was like a teacher at the school, and she was going around to other teachers, doors, like on, it was like school, like on your door, there's like all kinds of shit and like, you know,
yeah,
and signs and stuff. There was like, parents, I just think you should know. I think you should just see what's happening in the schools. Like it says mask required in the classroom. There are no mask mandates here. Like you should know what's happening. There's like Black Lives Matter and gay stuff. We all know that's political. And oh, look over here. The other English teacher also says mask required and blah, blah, blah. So I think you guys should just all get down here and see what's happening in the school and blah, blah, blah. And think about this is like your coworker who's making this video. So, I mean, that specific teacher is excluded from our Queen of the Week.
Yeah. She ain't involved. Greer, our friend at the pod, he's a teacher. He dresses up as Alexander Hamilton and teaches kids about history through Hamilton.
Dude, I had some really cool teachers. Like teachers really like, especially a good teacher that's really passionate about it, who's really meant to be a teacher. They really can change people's lives. So I feel like it's just such another hit of being underappreciated that and I can imagine that can get really like exhausting. That even
it's also an extension of the attack on our education system, just mm-hmm. like a further extension.
Right. So, and I salute the teachers. You know, I feel like they were a forgotten frontline worker, and you know, they already had a tough year over their last couple of years with the transition to online schooling and then going back and trying to support your students in a new medium. And so thinking about your teachers out there, got some friends who are teachers. And I couldn't even imagine someone ripped my mask off of me. I don't understand the anger of seeing somebody else wearing a mask. You know what I mean? Like I either see that video of that dude in New York yelling at that old lady on the train because she was wearing a mask. He's like, are you afraid? And he's like yelling in her face, like, take the mask off, take it off. It's like old
all
lady.
These unhinged people.
People are unhinged. It's like, bro. But yeah, so, oh, but I have something funny to tell you to like make it upbeat on the end.
Yeah. Let's end on a fun note.
You want to hear a stony moment?
Oh yeah, girl.
So last night, I had some ice cream right before I went to bed. Shocking. I know I don't really eat ice cream like that.
Yeah.
It was a fresh strawberry oat milk from Trader Joe's. It was delicious. It has like little like kind of like pie crusty like or crumbly something in there mixed in. I think maybe some chocolate. Oh no, it's delicious. I had only had a little bit because you know I only need a little bit, but I opened it fresh. Went to bed. Today I went to heat up some leftovers. I was hungry for lunch. And I opened the microwave.
Oh no!
And my ice cream was in the microwave.
No!
Bitch, well, so those who don't know, my microwave is on top of my fridge. So for whatever reason, my high body was just in like autopilot and it opened the microwave and put the ice cream in the microwave instead of putting it in the freezer, which I don't understand because it's higher than where the freezer would be, but... Yeah, I when I opened it, I saw it. I was so confused. Like non-Jaime was like, "What it?" And I was like, "Oh!" And it was hours. It was soup at this point. It wasn't like soft serve. It was soup. It was over. It was done. It was
soupy.
Even though it was oat milk and wasn't there, no, I had to let it go. And I'm telling you, I had like 5 spoonfuls of it. So you know, what happens sometimes when you get stony. Worse, you know, I'd rather that happen to be drunk and do some hella dumb. So there you go. Well,
I like ending on that note.
Yeah, that was nice. That was good. I guess maybe I'll just have to keep doing stony ass shit. So when we have some depressing ass topics, yep. I can lighten it up at the end. Hey guys, remember, I'm still out here getting high, doing silly shit for you.
That's right. Oh, like, subscribe, leave a review.
Follow us at highly_political, and we'll talk to you soon.
Bye-bye.